Welcome to the teaching ministry of Jubilee Church International. Jubilee is devoted to making disciples, winning the lost to Christ, building strong families, and taking the gospel to the nations. Open your Bibles and join us as the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us to grow a little deeper.
I mean, we want to hear God's voice. Not man's voice, God's voice. Not your own voice, not the voice of your soul, not the voice of your flesh, but learn to truly hear the voice of God. And I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons Christ came, is to bring the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine breath of God, that once again we could hear the voice of God. And how many of you know, we see the story of Jezebel, where Jezebel tried to silence the voice of God. And it happens today. There are voices all in the church. There are voices all in the culture. There are voices everywhere trying to silence the voice of God in your life. And that's what sin does. Well, the first things that sin does, it doesn't necessarily silence the voice of God as much as it causes you to hear the voice differently. Cain, when there was sin in his heart, he still heard the voice of God, but he heard it differently. He heard it differently. Why? It's not that God's voice had changed. Amen. It didn't go up an octave. It didn't go down an octave. It's not that God's voice changed. What changed? Cain's hearing. Cain's hearing changed. Cain's perspective changed. His perspective of the voice of God changed because of what? The hardness of his heart. It was what was going on in his heart that changed his perspective of how he heard the voice of God. How many of you know all sins can be forgiven? The only sin that can't be forgiven is the sin of unbelief. And we say that because if you are in unbelief, if you refuse to accept Christ, then adultery is a moot point. Right? But sins have varying degrees of consequences. Yeah. Understand this, young people. Well, everyone. There are some sins you do, you can't undo. Right. You go commit abortion, you can't undo that. Right. Okay, once they've ripped that baby apart and thrown it in a dumpster, you can't undo that. Right. Now, God can heal you. He can heal your mind, your emotions. He can heal your soul. He can forgive that sin. But the consequence of that sin cannot be undone. Right. You go give your virginity away. It can't be undone. Now God can heal your soul. And He can make you, He can restore that spiritually, emotionally, in every way. But it can't be undone. You understand? They have varying degrees of consequences. So don't confuse consequence with severity. And don't confuse grace with tolerance. Now I'm going to share some things that may be a little hard to hear today. But I believe that, and I'm just going to go until the Lord says stop, but I believe that if we'll listen, if we'll allow God, He will open our ears to see our destiny. He'll open our ears to see. If we'll hear His word, He will open our ears to see His salvation, to see His deliverance in our homes, our families, and our nation, to see the direction that He's leading us to go. You know, there's so many Christians,
I hear it all the time. They come and they want a prophecy. There's so many. If I had a dime for every prophecy I or my father's given. Oh my gosh. And some of them, people took them to heart and changed their life. Some of them, I've had people come up to me and say, your dad prophesied to us 30, 40 years ago and it changed our life. We're still living that prophecy. But others, what happened to you? Well, man, God spoke one of the most profound words of knowledge into your life and you're still living in sin? What happened? Wouldn't hear it. All it matter how you're hearing it. How you choose to hear it. I hear it all the time. God, I need pastor. I need God to speak to me about my house that I'm losing. God blessed me with this big old house. Oh, did He? Did He? Or did you bless you in the name of the Lord? I need God to speak to me about my big old house I'm losing. And God said, well, you didn't listen to me when you bought it. Why you want me to speak to you now? I said, y'all kid, anybody, you don't have to self-identify, you can relate. Amen, that one. Maybe you don't have a big house, so you don't have that problem. You can amen that one. What about this? And God, speak to me about this job. I can't stand it. I got it. Amen. I can't stand this job. And the Lord says, well, you wouldn't listen when you left the last job because you wanted to increase your debt. You wouldn't listen to me when you left your last job. I was trying to promote you there. I was trying to use you there. But no, you went and increased your debt and you wanted more money. And because of your hedonism, you thus saith the Lord. I heard from God. He told me quit this job and go to this one. Now you can't stand it. Oh, but I want to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, do you? Do you? Oh, God, speak to me about my wayward children. And God says, well, you wouldn't listen on Sundays when you were clubbing on Fridays. God, touch my children. Well, you wouldn't listen to me when you're bringing all those men through your house. What's changed that suddenly now you would hear the word of the Lord? My crisis. My crisis has changed. No, what needs to change is Christ in your life. Not your crisis, but the Christ in your life's got to change. Pastor, I'm finding me another church. You preach too hard. God, speak to me about my unbelieving husband. Oh, don't go there, Pastor. Well, you wouldn't listen to me before you married him. Before you went and got unequally yoked in your soul. But now you want God to speak into it. What's changed? What's changed? Well, now I'm desperate, God. I wasn't desperate before. Now I'm desperate. So if I come and I intervene in your situation, what's going to change? What's going to change? Well, I'm going to go back just to living and looking at you, God, the same way I did before you come and solve my problem. See, sometimes we want God to move mountains and God's saying, I'm trying to keep you from going in the wrong direction. I won't hear it. And so what we do is we dabble with dysfunction. We dabble in our dysfunction. But how many of you know one generation's testimony of dysfunction does not have to be another generation's dysfunction duplication?
doesn't have to be another generation's dysfunctional duplication. Sometimes God, we need to go back to the last thing God said to get back to going the right direction. You know, you keep going the wrong direction, refusing to receive any instruction. Gary, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up in a bad place. The wrong place. How many of you ever been following your GPS in a city like Houston or Dallas or Austin, and that sucker takes you down through the hood? And you're like, oh, where's this thing taking me? I ain't packing today. Angie and I, we went to Conway the other day to Zayden's birthday party. And Angie turned down the street and there was a drug deal going down. It wasn't her fault, but she turned down an alley. I said, man, honey, you turned down an alley and there's a drug deal going down. And they were like looking at us like, oh, what are you? I was like, never mind us, we less lost. Just do your deal. Sometimes you need to go back to the last place where God was trying to speak to you. Get back on track. And it's like modern day driving. I pick on Arkansans. You know, there's this neat, you know, there's a lot of technology. Man, there's technology for about everything out there. You got to learn how to use it. But there's this technology that most automobiles are equipped with today. And it's an amazing concept. Maybe you've got one in your car. It's, you know, they got cars that'll take over the steering wheel for you now and keep you in your lane. But this technology has been around a while. And about most people in Arkansas, I'm not sure, are versed in this directional technology. It's an amazing concept. If you push this little stick, it causes this light to flash on the outside of your car. Now, you can't, if you're in your car, you can't see that flashing light, but there's one inside. There's a little one on your dashboard that ding, 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 makes a sound. Makes a sound if you listen to it. Some people, they drive around with it on all the time. I guess they love the sound of that thing. Or they can't hear it. I don't know. But you push on this little thing, and that light that comes on the outside, you can't see it on the inside, but it lets everyone around you see which direction you're going. But some Arkansans, they'll fake you out with it. I learned that the hard way, pulling out of a parking lot on the McCain. Dude had his blinker on, had it on about a quarter mile down the road. And I assumed he was turning there. And I pulled out and he took the front end of my car off. And guess whose fault it was? It was mine, because he had his blinker on. Was he turning? Nope, had no intention of turning. Doesn't that sound like us spiritually? We're so spiritually, directionally confused. Some people, they'll turn their... You tell them turn right, they turn their left blinker on. So directionally confused. See, sometimes we need to go back. And we need to hear God's voice. And we need to learn God's direction. We say, well, God's not speaking to me. He's been speaking to you. Your blinker's on. Ding, 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 ding. God's been speaking. His voice hasn't changed. His instruction hasn't changed. His direction for life hasn't changed. It's the same direction in my life as it is in your life. It's the same instruction in my life as it is in your life, as it was in Peter's life, as it was in Moses' life. Is the blinker still on? It's amazing. Everybody else can see which way you're turning but you. Come on.
Wow.
See, we want, sometimes we want God's mysteries void of fulfilling His commandments. We want His presence void of His principles. I mean, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, look there with me. We see an account of this same principle. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. In the account of the fall of man from the garden, the center of God's presence. You know what the garden was? The garden was the center of God's presence where God chose to place man. And there are some significant principles to be gleaned from the drash or the homiletic connection level of understanding here. I mean, you know, this was not the first time man had heard the voice of God. In Genesis chapter 3, this was not the first time that man had heard the voice of God. But it was the first time they heard it through the eyes of judgment. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, it says that when they disobeyed, I mean, you know what disobedience is? It's fallen faith. It's fallen faith. It says when they disobeyed with fallen faith, God, when they disobeyed God, their eyes were opened. Everybody say opened. This is the Hebrew word pachak, meaning to awaken senses. To awaken the senses. What was awakened? Nefesh. Flesh. What senses did they awaken? They awakened yetzer hara, the inclination to evil. And it says that they knew, or yada, they became intimate with their nakedness. They became intimate with their yetzer hara, with their evil inclination. And the word naked is erom, meaning helpless. Naked me is erom. It means naked, it means helplessness. They were intimate with their helplessness. They came aware of their helplessness. You see, outside of the Salim, the authority and the demut, the instruction and direction of God, they were helpless. Notice in the verse before, it wasn't enough for Eve to eat. Adam had to be brought in on the effort. See, rebellion loves company. One rebellion is a catalyst, but two makes a movement. And in verse 8, it says they heard, or shema. That means to respond to. They responded to, they heard the sound or the call, the voice or the command. The Hebrew word there for sound is call, Q-O-W-L. It means the voice or the command. They responded to the command of the Lord who was walking halak, the manner of life. Or in other words, they could sense the nature of God, the presence, the manner of life. The righteousness of God. And they responded to God walking in the cool. And I found this interesting. The word cool there, you know, meant God was like, hey, what's up? What's up? God was cool. Right? What's up, Adam? No. The word cool there means it is in the Hebrew, ruach. What is ruach? Breath. It's the breath of God. The Spirit of God. And they hid, chabah. The word chabah, to hide, is to withdraw, to harden.
They withdrew to harden their hearts
from the presence, or the panim, the face of the Lord Yahweh. And they hid among the trees, and they took figs and covered themselves, representing the religious fruit. See, they tried to hide behind other things that bore the mark of God's hand.
And God then called, "Where are you?" What was this call? It's not that God didn't know where they were. Listen, folks, if God's asking you a question, it's not because He's lacking information. He didn't get the memo. That's not it.
Where are you? This was an opportunity for confession, or taking personal responsibility.
And Adam replies, "Well, we were afraid because we were Arom. We were helpless."
Why did they feel helpless? Because they were outside of God's design.
This was the wrong fear. You see, Adam feared what he looked like, not who God was. He feared repercussion, not the destroyed relationship. His ego had been exposed, and he wasn't even sure what it was he was trying to hide.
And God says, "Who told you? Who told you?" No, you know what God's saying? There was another voice in the garden. Who told you?
In other words, whose voice have you been listening to that lied to you? That tried to puff you up, tried to provoke you to self-exaltation, that tried to provoke you to self-motivation?
And God then asked, "Have you eaten of that which I said not to?"
See, it wasn't because God had no clue what happened. It was an opportunity for repentance. But instead, Adam does what? He blame shifts. There was another voice.
And what's interesting, it's not that, if you really want to get real technical, it wasn't the first time they heard this voice either.
Think about it. You're Eve. And we're going to go with the allegory of snakes talking to you in a tree. And that ain't a little weird?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The donkey's not talking. The horse but this thing speaks the same language that you speak when you speak to God.
Wasn't the first time they had a conversation with this guy. Do you know why? The difference is it's the first time they responded to it and acted upon it. Why? Because he was Nakosh. He appealed to the iniquity within, the Yetzer Hara. And they turned and they chose it. They chose to go a different direction. Many voices. It happens in the church today. Happens in the church today. Anybody starts teaching anything that we don't teach in this house, you don't need to be going. Amen. You don't need to be watching that YouTube channel. Amen. Unless for some reason you think we're not teaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. And you got to go get the real truth somewhere else. Saying, unless you are so versed in biblical scholarship that you can discern when somebody is teaching heresy, go for it. Otherwise, I caution you, because there's a lot of voices out there and they speak the same lingo. We've had them come in here. We had a woman come in here one time and she called herself a prophetess. She talked about the Holy Spirit, and prophecy, used all the language that we use. Spoken tongues? very charismatic, but something wasn't right in my spirit. So we got to know a little bit, and finally one day she said, well, let me share my book with you. Oh, I was like, okay. Get the book, and as soon as I looked at the cover, I thought, man, this looks New Age. This looks New Age. This looks Hindu. I mean, sure enough, I got to reading, flipped it over, read some. There's some key words that begin to jump out that I went, "Yep, that's Christian Science. I think that's Scientology." Got to reading through the book, and sure enough, in her book, she says that one day she was on an airplane, and God began to speak. The Spirit began to speak to her when she said that by His what is it? It says that by His stripes we were healed, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And she said, the Spirit told her, that's you.
What?
That's you. All the molestation and all the abuse that you went through, you were taking up the chastisement of others' peace, and you are the Christ. You are the chosen one. You are the Messiah. Now gather from among the churches. Go and gather my sheep. Go and gather your sheep, your people, your bride, because you are the Messiah. Oh, no, no, no. Thank you. I went and I took her book and I said, so this is your ministry. Yeah, well, yeah. Thank you. Move along. Move along. You have no place here. I keep that book on my bookshelf. Wish I had it this morning. I'd show you. She even went as far as to change her name as Christ.
She did.
To legally change her name to Christ. Now you go on to the Bible studies. You better be able to discern. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Well, there's, first of all, contextually here, we're going to look at what Paul's really talking about in context. He's talking about speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. But yet he also makes another point here. There are many voices. And all of them have significance, and some of them, their significance isn't from God, and some it is. And you got to be able to discern. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall not be unto him that speaketh as a I shall be unto him that speaketh as a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. See, the Apostle Paul is actually referring to spiritual gifts of tongue, interpretation of tongues. However, he identifies a significant principle that applies to prayer and your life in obedience to the will of God in any other gift, to include that of discernment. He identifies a principle that applies to hearing the voice of God in your life. We said before that there are many voices in the earth competing for your attention. They're competing for your time. They're competing for your money, your desires, your affection. They're competing for your devotion, your pleasure. They tell you what jeans you should wear, what shampoo you should use. You use this shampoo, you'll have thicker hair. If you use this shampoo, you'll be sexy. If you wear these jeans, you'll be cool. You know, there was a day when I was a kid, you wouldn't catch me wearing a pair of Wranglers. Just wasn't cool. Today, you can get them for $20 at Walmart. I got 5 pair. I don't care what it says on the tag. I remember back in the day, if you wore Converse, it was because you was poor.
And you couldn't afford Nike Jordans. Today, Converse, hey, $100 a pair. I'm like, are you serious? I wish I still had those old pair I had when I was a kid. They're selling Converse that are pre-torn up and ragged and dyed and all kinds of stuff. They got whole stores, Converse stores. Every kid wanting Converse. I'm like, are you serious? Many voices competing for your identity. My father said one time, he points out that there are three voices you're able to hear. Are you ready? Three voices. The voice of man.
Somebody's getting a GPS or a direction.
A GPS direction over there. We're going in the right direction. Trust me, brother. It's all good. We're going in the right direction. It brings me to a point. So we're trying to go to Pensacola, and we started going a new route. And my goofy phone, I kept trying to, you push a little button and you say, directions to Pensacola. And I was wanting to see how far we were from it. But every time, it kept saying, we were 5 hours away or something like that. I was like, how can that be? Because it kept saying that my location was Atlanta, Georgia. I kept saying, I am not in Atlanta, Georgia. How can you trust the GPS and don't even know where you are? There's a spiritual message in there somewhere. But my dad says there are three voices you're able to hear. The voice of man, the voice of devils, and the voice of God. And you need to know which one is which. Because the first two will always try to pose as the latter. There are three elements through which these voices speak. The soul of man, his mind, his will, his emotions, his nefesh, his ruach, his neshama. The flesh, or the five senses of man, the spirit, and the third is the spirit of man. The soul of man, the flesh of man, and the spirit of man. The key identifier of the voices that are the voices of man or the flesh are not the voice of God, are that the voices of the soul and the flesh, the voices of man, always appeal to self. They always appeal to self. Me, me, me. Me is the center. Me is the subject. Me is the object. Me. They appeal to self-image. They appeal to self-confidence. They appeal to self-indulgence. They appeal to self-gratification. Self-reliance. Self-benefit. Self. And they're almost always motivated by pleasures, greed, vanity. Buy this, eat this, wear this, get this, gain this, benefit this. You'll look sexier, feel healthier, be happy, have more, 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 more. Thus saith the Lord. It's not God. Never forget, we used to have a Bible study in our house. There was this spooky spiritual guy that come, Petey. Dad loves to tell a story about Petey. You want to tell a story? Oh, Petey. He looked like Keith Green, but he had smoked a little too much dope. Petey got saved. He was a good fella, don't get me wrong, but my mom had made these sausage cheese balls. Big pile of them. And Petey would eat about 70% of them. And then Petey was over there.
What's going on, Peter? I'm hearing from the Lord. Well, the Lord told me I could eat 2 more cheese balls. Oh, good God.
But I know Christians like that. Are you serious? People are going to hell and you're seeking God whether you should eat 2 more cheese balls and you've eaten 70% of them. Oh.
These voices may also be motivated by a dark side of selfish satisfaction. We often mistake them for the voice of God in our own sick way. They're voices of envy and jealousy and annoyance or revenge. I just don't like that person. Why? Well, something in my spirit. Really? Do you know them at all? Nope. Don't want to get to know them. Because I feel it in my bones. Oh. But they come through many venues, the media, advertisement, movies, shows, billboards, magazines, even pulpits. YouTube. They permeate our culture and our entire way of life. They flood your ears, your eyes, your mind, such that they begin to mold and shape your thought of yourself. They mold and shape the way God has made you, your reasons for living, what's really important, how to have a relationship, what you're worth, how to follow God, your theology, your doctrines. But you can always know the voice of God speaks from an altruistic vantage point and is motivated by love and never contradicts His Word. And it demands self-denial. The voice of God demands self-sacrifice. And the voice of God demands selflessness. Many voices competing for your spiritual ears. And we've talked about, we looked at how Adam and Eve walked and talked with the voice of God in the garden. Everything was fine until they listened to another voice. And when confronted with the voice of God, what they do? They blame someone else for having listened to another. Adam blamed Eve, but he listened to her, didn't he? Eve blamed the serpent, but she listened to him. People in the earth, in the church, do this same kind of thing every day. They blame God, the devil, the spirits, and blame everyone else. They're sure God spoke to them and confident He told them to go to this church, that church, do this, do that. Suddenly one day they decide God told them to leave, go somewhere else. Man, God. The God that you listen to must need some medication. Can't make up His mind. He's indecisive. Because He told you to go to 6 churches this year. Yes, but you don't understand my spiritual assignment. Yeah, I do. You're confused. You need to check your GPS. And then again and again, they follow the same pattern. But here's the thing. You'll see the same pattern in their jobs. You'll see it in their finances. You'll see it in their relationships. You'll see it in every area of their life. He is faithful in the little will be faithful in much. And he who is not tossed to and fro. And then they wonder why they can never seem to see increase. Emotionally, spiritually, or financially. You know, here's my thing. If you want to go, go. If you want to change jobs, change jobs. You want to leave and change churches, change churches. That's your business. If you really want to do it, do what you want. But be honest. Quit saying it's God when it's not. It's your will you're following, not God's. Do what you want to do. Come up with other excuses, but quit blaming it on God. God told me. God didn't tell you mess. I'm being nice. Don't say God's telling you it's not. It's your own discontentment. It's on your own rebellion. It's your own agenda. It's your own discontentment, inconsistency, immaturity, instability. But it makes you feel better to say, no, God told me. God didn't tell you. Be honest. There may be someone you're hoping to make your mate, or maybe opportunity for a position, or more money for your ministry. Whatever it is, be honest. But don't say God's telling you. In Genesis 3, 7 through 13, God gave them an opportunity to be honest. Who told you? And what did Adam say? God, it was you who gave me this woman. You know what he was implying? That God, I thought it was from you, God, when her voice told me to partake, and I assumed it was your voice, God, because we both speak to you. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you think I was speaking through Eve to tell you to disobey what I'd already commanded you? To violate and contradict what I had already laid down before you. The parameters, how I told you to live life. And you listened to it. You couldn't discern Adam? See, because when Eve partook, nothing happened, did it? We always preach this and original sin and all that. But grab hold of this. Nothing happened. Why? Adam didn't discern. Hey, you're listening to another voice. You know why? Because he was standing right there. He was standing right there. And he listened too. Now he's going to blame. Don't blame somebody else and say it's the voice of God. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God. There was no doubt that they could hear and they knew very distinctively the voice of God. But they listened to another voice besides God's. And they responded to that voice when they did in disobedience to the voice, to disobey the voice of God. They were ashamed and they became afraid of the voice of God because of their sinfulness. Before, when they only listened to the voice of God, they knew no shame. But when they listened to other voices, they were ashamed. Folks, if you listen to any other voice in your life besides the voice of God, it will always result in pain, suffering, and shame. And then it becomes hard to stand before a pure and a good God who has and desires nothing but good and the very best for you. How could it be hard to stand in the presence face to face with such a good God? Except that you have hardened your heart by listening to another voice. Notice Adam and Eve tried to cover up the consequences of listening to another voice. And they hid themselves from the presence of God. They were like children. When you only hear silence, you cannot find them. You know something's up. When there's silence in the room, something's up. I leave you with this one little story. Some of you may have heard it. I'm going to share it again. When my children were younger, we used to play hide and go seek. We turn all the lights in the house off. And we go hide and we take turns. I never forget one night,
Well, there was one time we played, and I was hiding behind some piece of furniture or something. And I never forget, I think it was Tori, and one of them came in and said, "Daddy," and if you're it, you get a flashlight. And you got to go through the house with a flashlight. And he said, "Daddy, we see your belly sticking out." But one time, I thought, well, I'm going to get him. I was smaller and younger then. But I climbed up on top of the refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
And I was crouched up there on top of the refrigerator. Charles Ed is looking at me like, "How did you get up? How did you fit up there?" But I did. I climbed up there. And I climbed up on top of that refrigerator. And I watched my kids and I listened as they went all through the house. And they'd come in there in that kitchen and they'd say, "He's in here somewhere. I feel it. I know he's in here." And they would look in the cabinets, and it's all I could do not to laugh. Like, they're looking under the sink. I'm like, I couldn't fit in there. I did good to fit up here. But they'd go in and they'd always come back to that kitchen and say, "We know he's in here." They look under the table. And even though there was nothing under the table, they just kept looking under that same table as if I was going to manifest. But they sensed the presence of Father. Even though with their eyes they could not find me, they could not see me in the cabinets, they couldn't find me under the table, they kept looking because they knew Daddy was in there somewhere. Listen to me. Whatever situation you're in, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're feeling struggling with, and you can't see the hope and you've lost hope, listen to me. Keep looking. Daddy's in the room. Presence of the Lord has not left you. He doesn't abandon you. Take your little flashlight called the Word of God and keep shining it. Keep shining it. All they had to do to find me was look up. See, God's not where you are. He's above your situation. Don't try to bring God on your level to solve your problem. Quit trying to go around the mountain. Israel said, "We don't want to go up the mountain. We'd rather go around the mountain, God." And God said, "Good, I'll give you 40 years. I'll go around and around and around the same mountain." See, sometimes mountains weren't meant to go around or be moved. They were meant to be conquered. To go up to the place where God is, where you can hear His voice. Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. Hear His voice. God, we want to hear Your voice. Come on. Listen, I'm telling you. Come on, I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord. In my lifetime, I've watched the church go through every kind of movement. It's moved this way and that way. It's laughed. It's rolled around on the floor. It's fallen down. It couldn't get back up. It's done all kinds of things. It's flung oil. It's tried gold teeth and dust and everything else. I remember a time when all the fivefold ministry was in one man and nobody could hear from God. I've studied of a time where a man with a big fish hat and a stick was the only one that could hear from God, and nobody else could even read it, hear it, study it. The church has come through all kinds of seasons and ages. But I believe we came to a place where God restored prophets to the house of God. My dad was a prophet when being a prophet wasn't cool. And he paid a price for it. Paid a price for it. I believe men like my father were pioneers to restoring the voice of God to the house of the Lord. But more importantly, to show us a way. To show us a way to go back to the place where we could hear from God for our lives. And instead what we did is we had conferences and everybody collected prophecies. We formed prophecy lines and we did all that. And that was all well and good in its day. But God says, the day of my people standing at the base of the mountain is over. It's time for you to hear my voice. I believe God's about to usher the church into a new age where you can hear His voice. But 2020 will require the greatest level of discernment that the church has ever had. And there will be times that it will be divided and people will be offended because God will say, there is time I will speak words hard to hear, and there will be times that the prophets will not form a prophecy line. They'll stand up and they're not going to give you a great little prophecy for your iPhone. Instead, they're going to say, that's not the voice of God.
Yes.
What do you mean they're going to start pointing out false prophets? No, they're going to start pointing out false voices in your life. And listen, when you, as the body of Christ, learn to discern what is the voice of God and what is not, God doesn't have to deal with false prophets. Through prophets, He'll deal with them through you. You will say, that don't sound like God. That don't sound like God. See, as a pastor, as a shepherd, I love you. I love this people. I love this people. I'm not a pastor because I'm getting rich and making money. I work a full-time job. I'm here because I love serving God. I'm here because I'm called. I'm here because God told me to be here. I'm here because I love God's people. And my sovereign assignment that God has put upon my life is to prepare His bride. But it's a hard truth, like a father. As my children grow, I can't protect them from everything. I can't always protect my daughters from their heart getting broken. I try. But I can't. You have to give your heart to God. Say, God, protect it. Can't always be there at that school when my son's there and they're talking filthy and nasty. But I gotta trust that He's got my heart.
Amen. Amen.
He's got God's heart.
Oh yeah.
He won't listen, but He'll listen to the voice. He'll hear the voice of His Father. Can't guard you. Can't protect your ears. But I can teach you how to hear. I can't guard your ears, but I can teach you how to listen. I can teach you what's the voice of God and what's not. And I will not find myself standing before God having failed that assignment. If you go astray and you go listen to false doctrines and you go run off and you fall away from God, It ain't on me. I'm teaching you how to hear from God. But you got to show up. Faith cometh by hearing. What is faith? Belief and obedience comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You got to hear. Come on, close your eyes with me this morning. Tell them, God, I want to hear. Guard my heart, God. Guard my soul, God. Guard my life. Guard my spirit, God. Guard it with my ears, that I might hear nothing but your voice, and that I might discern what is not your voice. What is contrary to the voice of the Word of God? What is contrary to the hope and the life? And listen to me, some of you need to hear this. If it doesn't sound like the voice of a good father speaking to his son or daughter, it's not the voice of God. If it's appealing to yourself, self anything, it's not God. The internet is full of self-motivational words in the name of the Lord. Self-exalting, self-promoting, self-esteeming. Self is your problem. You don't need God puffing up self. You need to say, God, help me kill it. Hear the voice of the Lord. God, help us hear. We'll be a people of discernment. So that when you do put your words in our mouth, all those other voices won't get in the way. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. The Lord says, I want, you are in a time in your nation, in your generation, and all around you, says the Lord, that I need to put words in your mouth that will pierce hearts, that will set people free, that will deliver them, that will break the strongholds on their mind and their thinking. I need to put words in your mouth, my words, but I need all those other voices not to taint, not to pervert that which I would put in your mouth. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord this morning and tell Him, God, silence every voice. And make me your voice. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.